And now, a massage from the Swedish Prime Minister.
Today on Silly Noises, our two teams are the Bournemouth and District Amateur Gynecologists, who take on our visitors today from Goole in Yorkshire, the Humber and District Catholic River Wideners Club. And it's Bournemouth's turn to choose the first subject. Bournemouth.
Clay pigeon shooting, please.
No, Goole?
History?
Yes, well done, Goole. And so, Goole, go a point ahead in Silly Noises this week, and here's history. What famous 19th century foreign minister made this noise when you pushed him?
Lord Aberdeen?
Yes, 3 points. And now, Bournemouth?
Yes?
Wrong. The answer was a pederast. No points there. Goole, your second history question. What European treaty was signed to the sound of this?
The Franco-Prussian Alliance of 1821?
Yes, indeed. No mistaking that. Now, Bournemouth, you ready?
Yes.
No bad luck. Rather a difficult one. No points. And so, with Goole leading by 7-0, we're going to suddenly stop the game.
Good evening. Tonight, dinosaurs. I have here, sitting in the studio next to me, an elk. I'm sorry, an elk. Mrs. An Elk.
Miss.
Miss An Elk, who is an expert
No, an elk.
What?
An elk, not an expert.
No, I was saying that you, Miss Elk, were an A-N, not A-N-N-E expert.
Oh.
On elks. I'm sorry, on dinosaurs.
Yes, I certainly am, Chris. How very true, my word, yes.
Now, Miss Elk, Anne, you have a new theory about the Brontosaurus.
Can I just say here, Chris, for one moment, that I have a new theory about the Brontosaurus?
Exactly. What is it?
Where?
No. What is your theory?
Oh, what is my theory?
Yes.
Oh, what is my theory that it is? Yes. Well, you may well ask, what is my theory?
I am asking.
And well, you may. Yes, my word, you may well ask what it is, this theory of mine. Well, this theory that I have, that is to say, which is mine, is mine.
I know it's yours. What is it?
Where? Oh, what is my theory?
Yes.
My theory that I have follows the lines that I am about to relate. Theory by a elk. That's A for Anne, it's not by a elk.
Right.
This theory, which belongs to me, is as follows. This is how it goes. The next thing that I'm about to say is my theory. Ready? The theory by A. L. brackets, miss brackets. My theory is along the following lines.
Oh, God.
All brontosauruses are thin at one end, much, much thicker in the middle, and then thin again at the far end. That is the theory that I have, and which is mine, and what it is too.
That's it, is it?
Right, Chris.
Well, Anne, this theory of yours seems to have hit the nail on the head.
And it's mine.
Thank you for coming along to the studio.
My pleasure, Chris.
Britain's newest wasp farm...
It's been a lot of fun.
Opened last week...
Saying what my theory is.
Yes, thank you.
And whose it is.
Yes, opened last week...
I have another theory.
Not today, thank you.
My theory number two, which is the second theory that I have. This theory...
Oh, shut up!
...is what I am about to say...
Oh, please,
which,
shut up!
...with what I have said are the two theories that are mine and which belong to
me. Look, if you don't shut up, I shall shoot you.
My base of theories, which I possess the ownership of, which belongs to me... The Theory the Second, by Anne...
Yangtze Kiang, the Great Yellow River, which, from time immemorial, has fascinated and tantalized the hearts and minds of men from all corners of the earth. Bob Wilson, Arsenal.
A wondrous river, o'er broad banks a-swelling, home to a race of fish.
Peter Shilton, Leicester.
Oh, Yangtze, beautiful river, river full of fish.
Sprake, Leeds United.
Yangtze Kiang, river of the eastern dream, teeming with carp and trout and perch and bream.
Why is it that so many of Britain's top goalies feel moved to write about the Yangtze? Brian Clough.
Well, you must remember, David, that these are goalies, especially Wilson and on occasion Gordon West of Everton, are romantics. They're dreamers. The Yangtze is a symbol for them. For them it evokes, David, a temporal as well as a spiritual continuity.
Bill Shankly.
Oi, che, a river of many moods. To a young goalie like Peter Shilton, the Yangtze is a beautiful river. To a more seasoned goalie like Phil Parks of Wolves, it's a river of regret. Of disillusioned ambition, and I think this is good.
We love the Yangtze, Yangtze Kiang. Hurrying from Yushu down to Xinkiang, passing through Chongqing, Wuhan and Lukao. 3,000 miles, but it gets there somehow. Oh! There's clouds of province, and Shanghai is a port, and Yangtze.
And now, a massage from the Swedish Prime Minister.
Hesitantly, reluctantly, Helen slipped out of a slim, tight-waisted waspy and stood naked in the moonlight before me. Somewhere a clock chimed 3. An owl hooted in the nearby copse. No wind stirred the casement window as she stood in the pale, translucent light on the Persian carpet. A minute passed, then another minute, then another minute passed, and another. A further minute passed quickly, followed by another minute, when suddenly a different minute passed, followed by another different minute, and another, and yet another further different minute. A minute passed. I glanced at my watch. It was a minute past. This was it. A minute passed. After a moment, another minute passed. I waited a minute while a minute passed quickly past, and then a minute which seemed to last an hour but was only a minute passed.
That was A Minute Past by John Finlayson. You can hear episode 9 of A Minute Past tomorrow night at A Minute Past.
And now, for the first time ever on record, we proudly present the 1972 Eclipse of the Sun!
Well, here we are at Lord's, waiting for the eclipse of the sun. Peter?
Yes, the ground's in tip-top condition, and I think we can expect some first-rate eclipsing this morning, Brian.
Well, we're certainly all looking forward to it very much up here. Jim?
And to look at the eclipse of the sun through...
Of the sun through?
Yes, to look at the eclipse of the sun through...
I don't understand.
To look through at the eclipse of the sun...
What?
I haven't finished. We have this, surely magnificent.
Absolutely.
Quite superb.
Here, here.
Quite agree.
What?
A piece of smoked glass.
Absolutely.
Which must be fully,
easily.
Must be.
Absolutely.
No question.
Jolly good.
Start again.
Well, here we are at Lord's with this piece of smoked trout.
Glass?
Oh, please.
No.
Glass. Waiting quite superbly for the eclipse of the sun-like object.
And here, if I'm very much mistaken, comes the eclipse.
Yes, you are very much mistaken. Here it comes. Peter?
Yes, I can't see anyone stopping it now.
No, it's all over by the shouting.
The sands of time must surely be drawing to a close for this plucky solar... Oh!
Rain!
Well, what a shame. The rain is beginning to come down now here at Lord's.
Light's going too.
Yeah, it's going really quite fast.
By Jove, yes, it's getting quite murky up here now.
You can hardly see a glass in front of your face.
What a shame. Well, that's it from Lord's then, I'm afraid, but we'll be back here again the moment there's any sign of improvement.
Well, while we're waiting to take you back to Lord's, we play you a recording of Alistair Cook being attacked by a duck.
I can never visit Philadelphia without being reminded of the story of the Texan, who on a business trip to Pennsylvania's ancient capital happened to visit Arturo's, the famous fish restaurant. Unfamiliar with the custom of this traditionally...
Hello and welcome to the wonderful world of sound! Yes, the sound of a common household ant magnified 300,000 times. And now, the sound of a tiny cockroach sneezing magnified 60 million times. Achoo! See how it frightened the ant? Ow! Got my finger in the drawer there. Even the sound of a tsetse fly picking its nose magnified only 75,000 times frightens the ant. And the tiny woodlouse as well! Ow! The chair! Ow! Jesus Christ!
Shut up!
Sorry! Well, now listen to this! The sound of an African anteater rubbing Vic on its chest! Wow! Hey! Isn't that exciting? And... Ow, damn!
Shut up!
Sorry! But can a black ant get hold of Vic Vapor Rub? Well, no! But it can ask a friend to get some! Listen to this. Magnified 92,000 times, the sound of the vicious Afghan panther lizard visiting the chemist! Isn't nature wonderful? Hey, yeah! And now a herd of zebras visiting the same chemist to ask for something for the weekend! And finally, oh God, finally some eye drops being bought in the chemist just down the street by a Bengal tiger! Christ! Hey, he's frightened the ant and the zebras! They trampled the woodlouse! Oh, Christ, the chair! Ah! Oh, God almighty! Sorry!
Dead? Ring Arthur Sodgen of Prestatyn, the fastest funeral service in North Wales. We will get the deceased out of the house and down the chute within the hour. Free wine glasses with every certified stiff. Ring 0402 187 if you're about to snuff it, and our Fiat 850 will be at your door within 10 minutes. Also, Danish and Scandinavian books. See everything.
And now, a massage from the Swedish Prime Minister.
Once upon a time, long, long ago, there lived in a valley far, far away in the mountains the most contented kingdom the world had ever known. It was called Happy Valley, and it was ruled over by a wise old king called Otto. And all his subjects flourished and were happy, and there were no discontents or grumblers, because wise King Otto had had them all put to death along with the trade union leaders many years before. And all the good, happy folk of Happy Valley sang and danced all day long. And anyone who was for any reason miserable or unhappy or who had any difficult personal problems was prosecuted under the Happiness Act.
Guest Master Slits, I put it to you that on February the 5th of this year, you were very depressed with malice aforethought and that you moaned quietly contrary to the Cheerful Noises Act.
I did.
May I just explain, my lad, that the reason for my client's behaviour was that his wife had died that morning?
I sentence you to be hanged by the neck until you cheer up.
And whilst the good folk of Happy Valley tenaciously frolicked away, their wise old king, who was a merry old thing, played strange songs on his Hammond organ up in the beautiful castle where he lived with his gracious Queen Syllabub and their lovely daughter Mitzi Gaynor, who had fabulous tits and an enchanting smile and wooden teeth which she had bought in a chemist's in Augsburg, despite the fire risk. She treasured these teeth, which were made of the finest pine, and she varnished them after every meal. And next to her teeth, her dearest love was her pet dog, Herman. She would take Herman for long walks and pet and fuss over him all day and steal him tasty titbits, which he never ate, because, sadly, he was dead, and no one had had the heart to tell her because she was so sweet and innocent and knew nothing of gastroenteritis or plastic hip joints or even personal hygiene. One day, while she was pulling Herman round the lawn, she suddenly fell in love with the most beautiful young man she had ever seen, naturally assuming him to be a prince. Well, luckily, he was a prince. So she looked him up in the Observer's Book of Princes, learned his name, and went and introduced the subject of marriage. And in what seemed like the twinkling of an eye, but was in fact a fortnight, they were on their way to her father's court to ask his permission to wed.
Your dear Buccaneer, rumbling through a
Daddy?
Yes, daughter?
This is Charming, who wants to marry me.
Is he a prince?
Yes.
Is he in the book?
Yes.
Oh, very well. Before I can give my permission, young man, I must set you a task which, if you succeed, will prove you worthy of my daughter's hand.
Yes, sir, I accept.
Good. At 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, armed only with your sword, you must go to the highest tower in the castle and jump out of the window.
And so, early the next morning, the young Prince Charming, dressed in a beautiful white robe and gripping his magic sword, plummeted to a painful death.
Can we get married now, Daddy?
No, my dear, he wasn't worthy of you.
Oh, will he have to go into the ground like all the others?
Oh, that's a good idea for a song. Yum, 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 dee, a buckety, a rum thing, ptow, yip, nip, nee, yo!
Yardy, buckety, rum thing, ptow, nip, nip, nee, yo!
One day, when Princess Mitzi was out hopefully kissing frogs, she spotted a flash of gold beneath a weeping willow tree, and there, sure enough, was a prince. He was rather thin and spotty, with a long nose and bandy legs and nasty, unpolished plywood teeth and bad breath and a rare foot disease, but, thought Mitzi, a prince is a prince, and she fell in love with him without another thought and rushed into his arms. And after a time, or a few times anyway, he too fell in love with her, and very soon they were on their way to ask King Otto's permission to wed.
Yardy, buggity, rum-ting-do.
Hello, Daddy. Hello, Daddy.
Oh, hello, Mitzi.
This is Prince Walter, who wants to marry me.
Is he in the book?
And in the foreword.
Hello, Walter.
Prince Walter.
You Otto! Oh, sorry. So you want to marry my daughter, do you?
Perhaps.
Oh, say you do, Walter.
Yeah, all right.
Oh, well, in that case, I must set you a task so you can prove yourself worthy of my daughter's hand.
Why?
Because she's a fucking princess, that's why. I'm sorry. Before you can marry my daughter, you must go to the highest tower...
Otto!
You must, go down to the town and get me 20 Rothmans.
What, now?
Oh, tomorrow morning.
And so early next morning, single-handed, armed only with 40p, Prince Walter set out for the tobacconists. Yard after yard he walked. Minute after minute ticked by. His body breathed in and breathed out. Until...
20 Rothmans, please.
Certainly, sir.
How all the happy residents of Happy Valley cheered Prince Walter as he walked back up the hill in triumph. But just as he was approaching the castle, he was run over by a London bus, which only goes to show. And the moral of the story is, smoking can ruin your health. The end.